In it. Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What an honor and what a privilege it is once again to be in His house to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I trust it was good for all of you, but we're so glad to be back in the house of the Lord tonight just to worship Him. And it's just an honor and a treat, Brother Terry, to get to come to church. Amen. Don't come because we have to, because we dread to, because somebody will say something if we don't, but we come because we want to. Amen. I'm glad I want to. Are you glad? Yes, amen. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand tonight? Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. Heaven sounding sweeter all the time. Let's sing a little bit more of that, if you will. You know the verses. Play it, brother, if you will. Bless you, buddy. Bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Little bird, God bless you. Love you, buddy. Brothers, God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, in heavens. God bless you, Brother John. Sweeter all the time. Oh, yes, now heavens sounding sweeter all the time. Oh, yes, lately. On our mind. praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. Several things we want to let you know about tonight. We want to. This is a card from Brother Randy and Sister Sharon Gisendan, Brother Aaron, Sister Lindsay Gilreth. Thank you all for your kindness that was shown to our family during the most difficult time. The flowers were just beautiful. All the phone calls, cards meant so much. A special thanks to all those that drove down to be with us in our time of need. May God richly bless you. And that's from the Gisendanners and the Gilreth family. Well, we just appreciate those folks, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. This is from Sister Georgia Franks. I believe that's who this is from. Greetings to my brothers and sisters. Asking for your prayers for my father, Brother Eddie Ray Havens from DeRidder, Louisiana. Having some health issues. We'll be having surgery before the Christmas holidays. I'm his daughter, Sister Georgia Franks. My daddy is 83 and a man of God. Prayers are greatly appreciated from our brothers and sisters. May God bless you. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I stream the services and feel to be part of the Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ family. I'm to have a liver ultrasound on Monday the 28th. Trusting that all will come back normal. Thank you for your prayers and God richly bless each and every one of you. Sister Peggy Larson from Wisconsin. So we'll just commit her unto the Lord tonight. Ask God to be with her. Sister Linda Jablonski says, I just want to give the Lord all praise and glory and honor for healing Eddie and myself. I want to thank my precious brothers and sisters for their love and prayers. I love you all. So let's continue to pray for those folks and thank the Lord for that testimony tonight. Sister Rachel Estep says, I want to thank the Lord that I'm cancer free. Thanks for everyone for praying for me. Rhonda Eads is suffering from a brain tumor, wants to be put on the prayer list. So let's remember those needs tonight. Thank the Lord for that good testimony tonight. I want to pray for Brother Gene Terrell. We'll have a procedure on Monday morning at the Med Center. So let's pray for Brother Gene that all will be well. I want to remember these folks tonight for the families of Jessica Gilbert and Hannah Linichek. Their grandfather passed away this morning. So let's pray that the Lord would be with him during this time. Brother Keith Strader's father is doing better, but still needs prayer. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Linda Kennedy says to please pray for me. I have to have several tests run on myself in the next couple of weeks. Pray that all will be okay. Also, my hair is falling out pretty bad. Please help me pray about that. We'll just commit those needs unto the Lord tonight. Also, she turns in a need for her daughter, Tammy. She has a lot of problems with her health and her nerves, so let's remember that need tonight. Sister Emily Potter, having pain from an incision, so let's pray. Brother West sends that in, so let's remember that need tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Yes, praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet. Brother Terry, come tonight. Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord tonight. God bless you, buddy. Lord bless you. Appreciate you.
I just was thinking just a minute ago, how many of you old married folks can remember back when you were dating before you got married, how you just was so googly-eyed about him or her and you just loved to be in their presence? Anybody? I know just a few older ones, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if you be honest.
Hallelujah.
Well, isn't that way it is, the way it is about our relationship with Christ? You just can't wait to be in his presence. I mean, the whole Bible is a love affair. It's just, and just every chapter just unfolds just another avenue down to the gallery of this great, great, beautiful book that he's unfolding to us. I love it. And I know you do too. Let's pray for these requests. Lord Jesus, how we thank you tonight, Lord, for the ever-present water from the rock. We're thankful that we can be back in the house of God. We're thankful for the truth that you have unveiled to us. We thank you, Lord, for the Logos that we read day by day. We thank you, Lord, for the revelations you send us periodically and the revealed living word that's an application for daily activities and daily decisions and the fight the enemy, the rhema you give us periodically. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come to church and have a 7-course meal. We're thankful, Lord, the ministry that is in this church, not only the pastor, but the other brothers. We're thankful for the people here that love you, Lord Jesus, we're thankful for the opportunity to come to church. Thankful for the freedom we still enjoy in this country. Lord, there's in this Thanksgiving season, there's just so many, many, many things that we thank you for. Most of all, that you gave us salvation. You chose us to be your bride. You elected us to see the truth. You sent us a messenger. You opened up our understanding. We could just go on and on. We're so thankful. Pray for these requests, Lord. There was a cancer issue, the liver issue, different ones at different places, some critical, some minor, but they're all worthy requests. We know that by your stripes you've healed everyone. You just ask one thing. Can we appropriate that faith? It's already been paid for. All things are possible if you just only believe. And I pray, Lord, tonight as we just the first service back since the Thanksgiving Day, that we will never fail to give you thanks in our countenance and our attitude. From this day forward, you might say, would always be in a thankful mode. There's a lot of things we can do and a lot of things we can't do. But one thing we can do is we can be thankful for what you've given us and be appreciative and not be complainers like those children of Israel in the wilderness. Lord, how you hated that. But we love you and we want to thank you. I pray that you'll meet the need of every person tonight. We worship you. Ask that you're come present, meet our needs, and as we glorify you, Lord, anoint Brother Donnie to speak, and may the words that he brings, Lord, we just have another camp meeting this evening. We ask in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor in the service with us tonight, we have several visitors here. We're so glad to have all of you here. Trust that this service will be a blessing to you and all those that are streaming. May this service bless those folks as well. Good to be a Christian, isn't it?
Yes,
somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
How many of you going to sing with us tonight?
Yes,
well, I hope the rest of you enjoy us.
Amen.
How many of you going to participate in this service tonight? Give the Lord one more big hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart. Amen. Let's sing a song tonight. What will it be when we get over yonder? I have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God has got in store for his people. Are you glad to be part of it? Are you glad you're part of it? Praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord forevermore.
It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night will never be.
That's right.
It's a sea where no storm clouds ever gather. Now this is just what heaven means.
I want you to sing with all your heart tonight, church.
Forever.
Let's sing a little chorus tonight. God is good all the time. God is good. Let's sing this little chorus tonight just before we have our special Sister Sarah. If you want to come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us tonight. Let's sing this chorus together. God is good.
Amen.
And all the time. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen. Let's sing about it tonight. Oh, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. Good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. The greater friend you'll find. He's not good just once in a while. He's good all the time. A late prayer request that came in. Please pray for Sister Deanna Dixon. She's having back trouble and a lot of pain, unable to be in the service tonight. So we just continue to remember that as the service goes on, that the Lord would be mindful of our sister. You can be seated tonight. Give Sister Sarah a nice hand as she gets ready to sing.
Old Daniel bowed his head and he prayed, but no answer came for 21 days. He felt like God hadn't heard his servant's prayer. But an angel was sent from God that same day, but the prince of darkness stood in his way. The angel my weeks turned to pain, and I cried, oh Lord, seems that you haven't heard your servant's prayer. But God said, I heard. it's been made. Satan's had to withdraw. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. If you'll believe, he's standing right there for you to receive. All the problems you face, he's all that you need. There's power in prayer. He's the God that won't fail you when friends let you down. So cast all your cares on him, 'cause I've found he can take a heartache and turn it around. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. If you'll believe, he's standing right there for you to receive. For the problems you face, he's all that you need. There's power in prayer. He's the God that won't fail you when friends let you down. So cast all your cares. A heartache and turn it around. There's power in prayer. He's the God that won't fail you when friends let you down. So cast all your cares on him, 'cause I've found he can take a heartache, turn it around. There's power in prayer.
Praise the Lord.
Y'all help me sing this, because I still don't have much throat, but we'll try.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be all I wanted. A mighty big man, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Oh Lord, I can't even walk without you. Holding my hand, the mountain.
many can say amen to that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1. Certainly happy to be back together tonight in the house of the Lord. I'll tell you what, when we don't have Wednesday night service, it seems like it's 2 weeks and we don't have church. Amen. I know I'm weird, okay? I have no problem with it. But when God saved me years ago, He saved me to go to church. Now, I ain't got so deep like some of the folks running the message. The deeper they get, the less they have to go to church. When I was in Pentecost, I used to go 40. I went 40-some nights in a row. The longest I've been is 55. What did you do, Brother Donnie? Had a time. And if that was in what little bit of light I knew, what about now? Amen. Amen. I love to go to the house of God. It's a good sign I'm a city dweller. City dwellers that love to go to the house of God, that's where you're going to live in the city. It's only those who love to come from time to time that live on the outside of the walls. That don't ever suit us. We got to be where He is. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I am so excited about what the Lord's given me tonight that I'm just... In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I want you to notice it doesn't say heavens as in plural, but heaven as in singular. But yet we know there is heavens. But this is not the generation of the heavens yet. This is just the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit, which is Ruach, of God, which is Elohim. So Ruach Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we are awed by Your presence. We stand in awe tonight of Your great word. We've only read just a few verses out of this great profound book called the book of Genesis. But what we just read covered thousands of years. What we read covered into an expanse of eternity and into the solar systems that man is still yet finding out to this day. Just a few weeks ago, they looked into a realm that they thought they'd covered our entire Milky Way galaxy. But they broke into a sphere or a realm in our own local galaxy that has overwhelmed them. They're just still finding more and more and more. And You made it all, Lord. We thank You for Your greatness. We thank You for being so great that You would condescend to become, that we would be able to love You and understand You. Take Your word tonight, Father, and speak to us, I pray. We're in need, Lord, many needs in our lives. But we believe that You know all of our needs and You're concerned about them. Catch us up, I pray, into that great presence of God. Breathe upon us tonight, Ruach Elohim. Breathe upon us the breath of life again. If the waters are troubling our hearts and our lives, may You move upon the waters as You did at the beginning. May You roll back the seas and calm the storms. Speak to us your great words in Jesus' name. Amen. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look tonight again at the Rhema in the galleries. We know that Christ, the Word, created all things. Yet, He was not a man. He was not the second person of a Godhead, because there is no such a thing. There's one person who makes up the Godhead, and that's the Almighty Elohim. But yet, that Elohim wanted to express Himself in a way that us poor human beings would be able to relate to Him. If not, even the elected wouldn't be able to understand Him. So He condescended in the form of His own Word, in the form of creation. Psalms 33:6 says, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host. Now notice here, it's plural. By the word of the Lord were all the heavens made, and all the host of them, and by the breath of His mouth. Now look at this word breath again. It's ruach. Wind, breath, spirit. Spirit is that which breathes quickly in animation, imparting warlike energy and executive and administrative power as energy of life. You know what? It must have been ruach that showed up in the upper room. Hallelujah. Here come the breath of life. He breathed upon His apostles and they were born again. Amen. Executive war-like energy and executive and administrative power as energy of life. Now we know that God created these things by the Word. But notice in St. John 1 verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. So who made it? God or Jesus? If they're separate. If Jesus is less than God, how could He have made the world? When John said He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He didn't help His daddy made it. He made it. Amen. He wasn't second in command of creation. He was in charge of creation. Glory! He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Hebrews 1:1, God, who in sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Now notice how God has spoken in the last days unto us by His Son. But what is His Son? Is it a little boy? Is it a second person of the Godhead? Or is it the Word? God has spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. So the worlds were made by the Word of God, or the Son. Now, not the Son as a little boy. Not the Son as a second person. God's Son is His Word. Amen. May I go ahead and make it plural, because it is God's sons are His Word. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Now notice how that's reversed. Normally you would say by the power of His word. But Paul don't say by the power of His word, but by the word of His exousia. the word of his power. So the word is the administration that God chose to reveal his great power. It's not just my anointing and emotion and feeling, but the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, by his substantial word, being the sonship of God, which was Christ, was the way that God made all things. Visible and invisible, all things are made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the church said, now in that he is the substantial form of the word, the logos, which could be brought into creation, and it would be united with power. Now God, as we've done looked at, would eventually separate the power from the logos once it becomes written, so that Satan and the forces of evil would not have direct access to the written word. If the power was there, they could take the written word and create and do all kinds of things with it. So God withdrew the power from the logos once it is written down. Now, I hope you can understand what I'm going to say here, that the beginning of our new birth actually started with rhema words from God. The continuation of our walk with God has been one rhema word right after another, and the logos inside of your soul, though it was the word of God, it lay there without life. So it must take the rhema word of God in order to quicken that and bring it to the uniting of the Godhead, to where logos and rhema become joined together as Father and Son. Hallelujah. Now, not three separate beings, not three separate persons, but the same one revealing himself in the power of his manifestation. Now watch, again in Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now light exists independently of the sun, moon, and stars. Now listen carefully, that light, it exists independently from the sun, moon, and stars, because there is light in lightning, there is light in fire, there is light in electricity, and none of those are the sun or the moon or the stars. Now God did not say, let there be the sun. God did not say, let there be the moon, or let there be the stars. They were already brought into existence, but what God declared was, let there be light. So, and also there is a God light, which has no affinity whatsoever with the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the luminary objects that we look at every night in the bright clear skies. It is a God light. St. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. So this, of course, has nothing in relativity to do with the sun or the moon or the stars or the luminary objects of the night. This is a God light. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of Zoe. Shall have the light of Zoe. Now those who are justified have a little bit of the light of God. Those who are sanctified have a little bit more of the light of God. But you could have the light of God on justification and still not have Zoe. Or you could have the light of God on sanctification and still not have Zoe. You could have the light of God on the restoration of gifts and still not have Zoe. You could have a little bit of the light of God on that God sent a prophet in the last day and still not have Zoe. But I want the light of God of Zoe, which is the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the new birth, the seal of God on your soul. That comes only by God light. Now notice again, St. John 9, 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now watch this. This is a seasonal light that will change once he leaves. Listen to what he said. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So then what happens once he leaves? Is the world without light? No, the light is transferred from him unto those other objects. objects that are now reflecting His glory while He is absent, which is going to be who? His body, His bride, the church. He is the sun by the luminary types, and she is the moon. Also, St. John 12:35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. But he that walketh in darkness knoweth not where he goes. And we've all been there, and we know that's right. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Now watch the three stages of the light as it moves into the real illumination of a real believer. While you have light, while the light is here, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Now watch, when the Lord Jesus spoke to Paul, as Paul is reiterating this call in Acts chapter 13, verse 47. For so as the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Now the Lord Jesus has gone from the earth, but God is now calling to Paul and Barnabas and telling them, I have made you now the light to the Gentiles. So the light was transferred now from being the Lord Jesus. It then became Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Matthew. Paul was not yet the illumination of the light. He was not yet born again. After Paul became born again, then Paul now becomes a reflector of the light as well. Hold on to your seat. When Brother Branham was here, Brother Branham was the light of the age. And the word of Malachi 4, but when Brother Branham left, the light did not go out. The light simply changed from one human body to another, and the light of God is still here tonight in bride form. The word made flesh is the light of the day when you see it. So the light of God is still here. And the saints said, aren't you glad? You're not just walking in the light, you are the light. Praise be to God. Amen. Now, notice again in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For ye some were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now, Paul, in the parallel of this, he said, you were sometimes darkness, not that you were sometimes in darkness, but ye actually were darkness. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. You're not in the light, but you are actually light. How could you be light unless a word of God was imparted to your soul by the same one who spoke and said, let there be light in the beginning? How can you and I be light? There's nothing that comes out of our flesh that emanates any type of light rays. And yet we know the human being is made so that they have internally four light rays. And this is the way that X-ray machines actually work. It's because of the four light rays that work on the inside of you. Then the restoration of the word in the last day is to come with the restoring of those four true light rays back to the mystical body of Christ. You see, Luther's message was to restore the first light ray under justification, the second light ray under sanctification, the third light ray under the restoration of gifts, and the fullness of that light ray was to reveal itself under Malachi 4. As the moon reveals itself in four quarters, and we know the first quarter, the second quarter, the third, and the fourth, and when it comes to the fourth, we call it the full moon. Justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost himself to come inside of you. We're not living in the days of Luther or Wesley or Pentecost. May I say, we're not living just in the days of the introduction of the message, but we are living in the last days when the word has been restored. Amen. The full moon is here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice again, Paul says in Ephesians 5:13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now, when God said, let there be light, remember it was not sun, moon, and stars, but it was the illumination or the correction of a darkened atmosphere which is moved upon this chaotic earth. Watch this again, Paul says in Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance
inheritance of the saints in light. This is your inheritance. You say, why does this matter to me? This is your inheritance. Your inheritance is light. It is who you are to partake of the light of God of your day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Praise God. Aren't you glad? James 1, 17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Now, wait a minute. The Father of lights? The Father of lights. Well, I'm a father of my two daughters, which means I'm a human and I fathered human daughters. You fathers that are sitting here tonight, whether you fathered one or 14, you are the father of other human beings, and here James calls God the Father of lights. So he was light and he fathered children of light. Amen. Well, praise be to God. Amen. Notice again in John chapter 1 verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his son cleanseth us from all sin. Now what I want to do by the help of the Lord is run a parallel from Genesis chapter 1 down through the ages and especially consummating in our age, and showing you as God started dealing with the earth in Genesis chapter 1. He was writing of the mystery of your life. Now we know that God, of course, condenses his truths in the Bible. And whenever we read it, we know that many, many years can elapse between one verse and another, which is exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 1. Notice this again in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created, which is Basra, which means to shape or to fashion. Now notice, God created the heaven and the earth. So God shaped and fashioned the heaven and the earth. Now remember that God is now reflecting his thoughts by the attributes that he wanted to bring into existence by the creation. And the Son, the Logos, is what is doing this. So God created the heavens and the earth. So keep this word in mind, that God shaped or God formed or God gave a view or a substance or an appearance of an attribute that was in his mind. But now notice that this verse ends conclusively with what God said. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But then when we jump from verse 1 to verse 2, it seems to be contradictory, because we see verse 2 reflecting something seemingly opposite of what verse 1 says. Let's look in verse 2. And the earth was without form. But according to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, God shaped or fashioned or give visibility to the heaven and to the earth. But here in verse 2 then, Moses said, and the earth was without form. So something must have happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Now, a cataclysmic change of some sort, called the pre-Adamite world or whatever you wish to term it, it was something that happened between verse 1 and verse 2, because the earth has lost its image. The earth has lost its visibility in the shape in which God made it. Yeah, these words are very key to understanding that. And the earth was without. Look at the meaning of the word without. Formlessness. Confusion, emptiness, empty space, wasteland, wilderness of solitary places, place of chaos. Now this verse is the exact opposite of verse 1. In verse 1, it had form, it had shape, it had purpose. Oh, glory to God. It had purpose, it had reason. Don't you see yourself? That you in the original creation of the Word, coming from the very Logos, you had substance, you had form, you had purpose, you had reason in the very mind of God. But something happened from the time you were in verse 1 till you came to the earth. In verse 2, you lost your form. You became void. You became utter chaos. And you was in darkness. So something changed this beautiful shape and form of the earth. And now Moses sees it, and he says the earth was without form. What changed the shape? What changed the form? What changed the purpose of what God wanted? Amen. Without form and void, emptiness, void, waste. Yet the earth, now remember, the earth is Logos, not Rhema. Rhema contains power within itself to change itself. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Rhema has power within itself to change itself. Logos doesn't. Logos can lay in a waste and a chaos in darkness and blackness of night for years. We don't even know exactly how long this was. The prophet said when God said, let there be light, it could have been millions of years. Now, the Logos seeds were there. The earth itself was a Logos attribute. Why did it not do itself? Why did not the Logos in those seeds, why did not they burst forth? They could not. The earth needed a rhema. Hallelujah to God. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And Ruach Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. Now the earth, glory to God, the earth is going to have a new birth. And her water is fixing to break. Glory! The Spirit of God moved upon the waters. Glory to God. The Lord revealed this to me this morning before daylight, and I thought I was going to tear the bed down. Oh, hallelujah! The earth is fixing to have a new birth. But before life can come, the water's got to break around her. The Logos seeds were there. The Logos seeds were already there. But why did not those seeds give birth to themselves? They could not. The earth needed a rhema. Glory to God. Oh, glory. Notice then in verse 3, and God said, there's the earth's rhema from God. The God who said, let there be a pine, let there be a cedar, let there be a maple, let there be an oak, let there be an ash, let there be a poplar. Them seeds is already there. Those seeds needed a rhema word from God. This is you, children. This is you. If the earth was the Logos of God, the earth was in the original creation of God, those seeds are the Logos of God, but they could not give life to themselves. The earth could not change itself no more than you and I can. We need help in our journey every step of the way. So God spoke a rhema. Let there be light. Yes, sir. And there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. Amen. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now what did that? Rhema. Listen to me, children. You believe God can still speak rhema words to our hearts today? Yes, now some of you is going to frown on me right good, and I know you are, but I'm going to tell it to you anyhow. God knew the advancement of science, of sin, of things around us would outlive the Bible. God knew they would outlive the message. You won't find internet in the message. There's many things that are wrong and sinful in this day that you'll not find a quote against. But God still got rhema preachers. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if them men are anointed by the Holy Ghost, you say, I want a scripture for against the internet. There isn't any. I want a quote for against the internet. There isn't any. But God still got men that are anointed by the Holy Ghost that can bring you a rhema word when you're fixing to do something that'll cause you from stop sinning. Or if you're doing something wrong, that'll loose you from that sin by a rhema word from God. Amen. Oh my. Now watch. Again in Acts chapter 26 verse 18. Let's run this parallel. Jesus speaking to Paul. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. From the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them. Which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now this is Jesus speaking to Paul. So the first thing of Paul's commission. Now remember this is at Paul's conversion. When the light, the pillar of fire meets him. And the first thing. And his commission is to open men's eyes to separate the light from the darkness. Do you understand that's what's going on? This is why we come to church. To separate the light from the darkness. This is why we pray. This is why we read our Bibles and listen to tapes. This is why we need to assemble ourselves together. Why? Darkness is constantly trying to permeate your life. And light is wanting to permeate your life. And God has rhema men. Men that are anointed by the Holy Ghost. That can go right down and help divide that thing in your life. And separate the darkness that's trying to get a hold of you. Notice again in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. For God who commanded rhema. Commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Watch Paul paralleling the new birth with the earth's birth. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has, watch him come from the earth now, shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, friends, we cannot truly reflect the light of God. Man, this is why the prophet said a man ain't got a right to climb behind the pulpit and preach until he's met the pillar of fire. I don't care how much a man has all kinds of whims and this and another. If he met the pillar of fire, I guarantee one thing. If we clean out all the message preachers around the message that ain't never met the pillar of fire, we'd eliminate a lot of false doctrine. A man ain't got no right to stand in a pulpit till he has met God face to face. They're not fit, not only preachers, but you as laity. How can you lead people to light if you're not illuminated? You might share with them knowledge, but remember, in order to lead them to the light, you've got to embrace the light yourself. And it must be in the face of Jesus Christ. And the word here, of course, is used for face or person. Notice again in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called. Oh. Who hath called. Rhema. Well, I sought God. You never done no such a thing. God called you. Who hath called. Listen, look what the word means. Kaleo. To call aloud. Name by name. Glory be to God. Here was your rhema. Do you understand the beginning of your spiritual birth started with a rhema from God? He may have told you this is your last chance. He may have told you stop at that church. He may have told you pick up that book. He may have told you something different, but it was a rhema from God that started your spiritual journey. And guess what? It's going to be a rhema that's going to end it. Praise God. Notice this in the fourth seal. In Genesis 1:1, it said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. That's all. Now the earth, well, the world was without form and void. And I said, I believe every seed was laying right there from some other civilization. Amen. Or something. And as soon as the water lifted off and the light struck it, up come the trees and everything. My, the same thing with the human being. It's a type. Friends, I ain't making this up. When I read about Genesis, it's your life story. That's you. In the beginning, you had form, you had shape, and the attributes of God. But whenever the cataclysmic change fell upon the earth prophetically, what was happening in the earth was going to happen in the man of the earth, Adam. God was writing it before it ever come to pass. That's why nothing takes him by surprise. He knows all things. Amen. He knew what you'd be. Then you was without form and void, and darkness covered you. And you could run around out here in the world and live like animals. Come on, no such thing. Look at me like that. Some of y'all live lower than dogs. Praise the Lord. But that didn't identify who your soul was. Oh, glory to God. You was without form and void, and darkness covered you. And one day a rhema from God said, let there be light over his soul. Let there be light. What responded? The Logos. Don't you understand? The predestinated seed. I'm typing it to your Logos seed from God. And the rhema, the voice of God, quickens that and makes it alive. Then you are changed from a Logos to a rhema, son or daughter of God. I don't want to be just a Logos Christian. I want to be a rhema Christian. I want a rhema life. Oh man, notice he said the same thing with the human being. It's a type. When the mist is moved away and the revealed truth to that real seed laying there still germatized, and the light of the gospel can strike it by true vindication of the word, it'll live. It's got life in it. Outside of that, it can't live. It hasn't got no life in it. Listen, very next paragraph. Them names were put in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. They will come forth just certain as anything. That's why Jesus sits there and waits with his mediatorial work until that last seed. He will know exactly when to strike. You're the reason. You're the cause of all this. Now watch in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Now God already said, let there be light. Oh, glory. Let there be light was the first day or the first increment of 1,000 years. Now when we move to here, we're in the fourth day or the fourth increment of 1,000 years. It was 6,000 years in bringing it all into existence because one day is 1,000 years with the Lord. So now watch how the fourth day parallels the first. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Now what is it? The atmosphere has been cleared, purified. The sun, the moon, the stars are now able to reflect themselves in a more visible means because the atmosphere has been cleared. This is not a creative word. God is not creating the sun. He is not creating the moon or creating the stars. This is not a creative word. It is an expressive word that God is bringing that which was already created into view. That's your new birth. God wasn't giving you eternal life. You wasn't becoming a son. Oh, you wasn't becoming seed, but you was becoming visible. Amen. Glory to God. Notice then, these things which were already created are now being brought into view in a cloudless sky to where the eye would be able to see it. It was already there, but yet it was hid by the mist and the darkness that was there all around it. But yet now it's been brought into clear, plain view. Oh, glory to God. Genesis 1:15, let them be for lights and the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. Now remember this word, this verb here, made, is not the Greek word for, or the Hebrew word for creation, but bringing into view. God made two great lights. The greater lights over the day, the lesser lights over the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Now notice, where's Mars? Where's Pluto? Where's Jupiter? Where's Saturn? Where's all the rest of these things? The earth's name is found written here in the Bible, in the book of life. Pluto, this is not a book of Pluto. This is not a book of Mars. Mars' name is not written in here. Why didn't God destroy the earth after this chaos came on it? Why didn't he destroy it and get another? And same reason he can't destroy you. Couldn't the same power of God just made a brand new one? God specializes in redemption and restoration. God cannot, never has, never will, never can he do it, annihilate an attribute. God could not annihilate this earth, so it was in such chaos. It was totally impossible. The earth was testifying of your eternal security before you was ever born. You think you was in a bad shape. You think you was in a world of chaos. You wouldn't nothing like this earth was. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 17, God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Now we know that there are suns that are way beyond our sun. There's moons that are way beyond the luminosity of our moon. Some planets have two and three and four moons. And much brighter than ours. But God set the illumination factor upon each of these according to the way he wanted it. Now we know the moon is an average of 238,000 miles from the earth on the average. The moon is 93 million. Now what if it was opposite? You wouldn't be here. The sun is so powerful, he would have already annihilated the earth. But God knows exactly where to put them. Exactly right. He knows what to put in your life too. The right amount of trials and the right amount of blessings. They orbit around exactly where he wants them if we'll just follow his leading. Now he puts them up in the sky, and from where we are, placed out here in this little spot of this nuclear place, or atmosphere rather, whenever on the arm of the Milky Way, our little subdivision as the scientists call it, here we are, and from where God positionally placed us upon this earth, the way we look at it is totally different than the way any other planet would see it. Now if you were able to go to Mars and look at it, it wouldn't look the same as it does from here. If you'd be able to go to Jupiter and be able to look up into the universe, it wouldn't look the same. And the scientists say, however it came to be that the earth is where it is, it's as if though someone put it there so we would have the clearest view. Yeah, that's my daddy, all right. Do you think he put that up there so he could look down at it? He loves you so much. When you're down here walking down like this, he gave you flowers and grass and trees. And when you lift your head a little bit higher, he gave you all kinds of things up on the mountains. And whenever the leaves fall off up here in the mountains, and he gives us snow and the hoarfrost and all kinds of things that he puts there in order to grace our day, even when the seasons are bad. Do you think that's all just for him? It's his treasures. It's his desire, because he wants to make your journey here in this life, oh, hallelujah, as pleasant as possible. If he would do that in the natural realm, what about the provision of the provided word for this hour? If he would color flowers, what if he made them all yellow? I love yellow flowers, but I'm glad they all ain't yellow. Come on. I'm glad all flowers ain't yellow. I'm glad all leaves ain't exactly the same. But he's a God of variety. He's a God of variety in the way that he made the stars and the planets. He's a God of variety in the way he made us. Oh my. Verse 18, to rule over the day and over the night and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now what's the fourth day? The fourth day and the first day both deal with light. The first day and the fourth day also deal with the separation of light and darkness. Both of them also deal with the terms day and night. First day and fourth day. Remember, there were four death messengers that cut down this broad tree. And there's going to be four life messengers that's going to restore it back. Now, the fourth message then must speak of the same light that the first message had, which was apostolic original faith. This is why Luther couldn't preach what we preach. Wesley could not preach what we preach. Pentecostals could not preach. Come on, children. But it is the fourth. The first and the fourth are so parallel together. Both of them dealing with light. Both of them dealing with the separation of darkness and light. Both of them talking about day and night. Oh, my. Now what? Then the fourth day is actually an advancement from the first. From the first, then, we see light which emanates from the voice of God, but in the fourth day we see where the light is actually permeating from. Now it becomes visible because the mist has rolled away. So what was a mystery in the first day, second day, and third day becomes more visible in the evening time. I mean the fourth day. Fourth day, Malachi 4. Now we're not just wondering, well, where's the light come from? Well, where's it going? I mean, what's happening? But we're able to say, there's the sun, here's the moon, here's the stars. Woo. Now watch how the earth is going to give birth. Them little Logos seeds are in her. And she's fixing to give birth. And God breaks her water. With what? A rhema. Let there be light. Your spiritual journey began with a rhema word from God. Watch this now. It has to happen to the pig. What can happen to him to make him a lamb? Something has to come down and change his being. Is that right? So what has to do that? Your whole nature's the other way. God has to do it. God speaks. And your nature begins to seek after God. Right here is your first rhema word. Woo, glory! Now remember, you received seed at your birth. Logos. But as the Logos seeds lay between the down beneath the darkness and the waters and the face of the deep and the mist and the clouds and all that that was upon the earth, why did not they just quicken themselves? They couldn't remember God separated quickening power from the Logos. So the Logos lay there for years and years and years. Same with you. You was out there running around drinking, smoking, committing adultery, lying, cheating, stealing, doing all this and that and the other. The Logos laying right there in your heart. But one day God said, hey, Bert, there was your rhema. Now, there ain't no scripture that says Bert or Terry or Donnie, but remember, God is the Word. And rhema words have life. So God speaks, let there be light. And your nature changes. Your nature begins to seek God. I mean, you're just as happy as you can be. You're acting like you got good sense and you're totally out of your mind. You're running around drinking and now you think, boy, I can't wait to get out with the boys on Saturday night and get drunk. Man, I can't wait to do this and that and the other. And all of a sudden, God just speaks. And you start getting all tore up. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Duh, you mean you didn't know that already? What in the world's the matter with me? I'm out here dressing like the world, looking like the world. What in the world? Oh, God, I've got to go to church somewhere. I'm going to a Baptist church somewhere. I'm going to a church of God. I'm going to a Pentecost. I've got to say, what happened? Your first rhema word. God spoke, and your nature, Lord have mercy, your nature, your earth, your water broke. Seed, the Logos.
Lord God have mercy.
Notice this. Brother Branham says, oh my, God speaks and your nature begins to seek after God. That's when God is dealing with you. Before anything can happen out here to make you be a Christian, something has to happen in the heart here to turn. Turn. Which means you was coming from the right direction, going the wrong direction, and you had to turn and go back. You ever get lost and realize you're going down the wrong road? This ain't right. You know, Siri, what have you done to me? Siri, I'm going to throw you out the window. Google Maps or whatever more you're using and say, this ain't right somewhere. I mean, this road shouldn't lead to a red barn and three cows standing in front of it. Something's bad wrong. So what do? You turn around. Oh, glory to God. You was out here in the world. Were we lost, Brother Donnie? Yes, you was lost. But not lost like the rest of them was lost. You were lost without direction. Glory to God. You were lost without direction. You was going the wrong way. But God, a rhema from God, spoke. And your nature began to seek God. And you turned. If my memory serves me right, isn't it something in Malachi 4 that said he shall turn? Luke 17 or Luke 1:17, he's going to turn the hearts. We was going the wrong way even after we got saved. Jumping and screaming and shouting and whatever more we was doing, we're still going the wrong way. We had to be turned again. Oh my. Notice he said, here had to turn you to Christianity. That's right. It's election. There are planets and stars and asteroids that are eaten alive by black holes in the universe. Many times when you see a star and you see the trail of it, all you see is a dying star. But this earth can never die. I realized the great mind of the day, Stephen Hawking, said this last week, that man only has got about 1,000 years left on the earth. They better start looking for other planets to move to. I thought, sir, you might be really smart and really intelligent. You could make me and most of the people I know look like an absolute idiot, but I can make you look like one on this. This earth is an attribute of God. Other stars might die. Other stars might go into the black hole of hell, but not this one. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I know you thought you was on your way to hell, but in reality you wasn't. You wasn't on your way to hell. You never come from hell and you can't go to hell because you come from heaven. The only thing you needed was to be turned back again. This earth will never be annihilated. She will never go down to a black hole and be absorbed into mass. Neither will you. Notice that you're a Christian, not because you sought God, but because God sought you. That's right. See, man can't seek God. He just can't. It's his nature to be a sinner, just like the pig. Tell him it's wrong to eat and slop. You couldn't do it. He's a pig to begin with. Tell him he's wrong eating slop. Oh my, you can't change him. Well, tell them, oh, you shouldn't cut your hair, you shouldn't do this. We shouldn't even be telling people out there like that. That's like telling a hog, you oughtn't eat slop. Tastes awful good to me. Get them to Jesus, and then we'll tell them about their hair. Get them to Jesus, then we'll tell them about their miniskirts and their dress. I don't know too much about fishing, but I do understand you've got to catch them before you skin them. Praise the Lord. God seeks after man and man comes to God. And when he comes to God, it gives him everlasting life. Again, he says, now that promise wasn't made or given to you by your own goodness. It was God's election and calling that brought you to it. Nothing you ever done to merit it. You never sought after God. God sought after you. Was it the earth? Was it the earth in verse 2 seeking God? Oh God, help me, God. The earth was in such a chaos, she couldn't. She was so dark, she couldn't. Neither could I. Neither could you. The earth was helpless, void, formlessness covered her over, seemingly without hope. And God spoke. And the earth's nature changed. And all of a sudden, the earth went out of this formlessness and void and darkness. And all of a sudden, by the power of a rhema word from God, the mist, maybe hundreds of thousands of feet deep, began to change. And the warm rays, the ultraviolet rays and the spectrum of light, as they begin to permeate down through and begin to warm the surface of the earth, and them logoses were laying there. Glory to God. They were laying there, and the atmosphere changed in the earth. And the earth began to warm. Spun around in the light of the sun. And them little seeds went to going, That little oak tree seed said, I want to praise the Lord. But he said, I can't praise the Lord down here in this mud. I want to get up out of the mud so I can raise my branches. The oak tree and the maple and all that could teach us how to worship God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, let the sun praise him. Let the moon praise him. Let the stars. Can you imagine the sun every day since God brought it into existence has praised the Lord? Scientists don't believe in God. Many theologians don't even believe in God, but the sun believes in God and worships God. The moon believes in God and worships God. Oh my. So God starts your journey with a rhema word. Son, daughter, quit this. Go to church. You might drive by this church and say, what in the world makes them people get up on Saturday night? Met a man not long ago, and he's familiar with our church and from around here, and he said, ain't you the pastor of the church up on the hill? I said, yes, sir. He said, what do y'all got going up there that people come up on Saturday night? Life. Resurrection. Praise the Lord. My, Saturday night. My, that's everybody's big time night. Why shouldn't we have church? What does God do, friends? You know, you say, Brother Donnie, I'm not sure I've ever heard of Rhema. I'll tell you one thing. You're going to be surprised when you realize how many millions of them that you have heard. It might not have been but a few phrases from this man of God, or a few phrases off of a tape, or a few when you picked up a book one day and you begin to read it and God made it real to you. You know what I'm talking about. You've had it to happen to you. Your life has been made up of studying Logos and loving Logos, and your life has been spiritualized and quickened by the rhema voice of God. Not only that is it here to help us, it's also here to warn us. It's here to warn us if we start to get into something that is wrong. Come on, children, preach with me. Rhemas are not just always blessings. Rhemas are not just always saying, well, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to give you that. But it's to correct us, Brother Amos. It's to wash us when we're wrong. It's to cleanse us when we're wrong. I love rhemas of God. Let me read what we closed last Sunday when we dealt with this, and then we'll close and pick it up, Lord willing, again in the morning. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the rhema.
You see why we need to hear from God's voice. What's it do? Washes us. Separates us. I feel sorry for folks who don't believe in a ministry. You know what? They're as filthy as they can be. I don't care how spiritual they think they are. We need rhema. Now just keep in your mind. Now I'm going to close. Here is the bride in this beautiful white wedding garment. Beautiful. And she's living in a black, smutty, filthy world. Everything she comes up against, everything she touches, wants to get smut and black and smoke. Oh, Brother Donnie, I don't smoke cigarettes. And oh, bless God, I ain't got no television. Well, thank the Lord for that. I don't listen to no rock and roll, hallelujah. That ain't sin, friends. Sin is unbelief. I've seen folks that was black and smutty as they could be. They never painted their face. They never drunk. They never had no television. But they're as mean as the devil himself. Didn't have no love of God. Didn't have no forgiveness. Come on now. Could never say they were sorry. Couldn't apologize when they're wrong. This is what the rhemas of God do. I hope you can understand. How many rhemas have God give us over this pulpit by me or other men? And God would take that man of God and warn us about something in our life or something that we were fixing to get involved in, and we step right over the top of it because we're waiting for a quote or a scripture to accompany it. God will warn you about your business things and warn you about this and getting drunk on the cares of the world. Oh, Brother Donnie, there ain't no quotes about converter business. There ain't no scriptures about this or that or the other. No, but God is still God. Amen. And God can still speak and say, you brothers, treat one another right. You sisters, do this and the other. And you just sit there and look at it. I don't like that. I don't want that. I believe Brother Donnie's wrong. I believe Brother Terry's wrong. But what if Brother Terry was right and God dropped a rhema word from you, for you in that service and you refused it? Praise God. Unlike you and I, the earth has no free moral agency. So when God projects his word toward it, she is a she, feminist in designation. God calls the earth her. She's female. Praise the Lord. But she has no will to argue with God. I don't want your seed. I don't want creation. I don't want this to happen to me. Unlike us, that God will give us his remnants. Let there be light. And we say, I don't want light. I'm not wrong. It's Brother so-and-so that's wrong. It's my wife that's wrong. It's my husband that's wrong. It ain't me. You see, friends, when we get to that spot, we're in a terrible spot. Hallelujah. Oh my, for myself, I want to walk in such a walk with God that God can speak to me. Don't worry, rhema words from God will never go contrary to scripture or the message. How will I know it's from God? Easy. Check the traits, the characteristics, see what the voice is trying to lead you to do. If it leads you away from the word, it's never the Spirit of God. If it's with the word, you better listen. And the church said, amen. Oh my. Our new birth begins with the rhema. Before you could become sanctified, God had to drop rhema words in you. Quit this. Lay this aside. Don't do that no more. Quit this. Before you could get the Holy Ghost, there's no logos that gives you the exact direction of what maybe you need. Now there's generalities. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that's general terms. But sometimes we need it individualized. You need to quit this and you need to lay that aside and you need to make this right and you've got a grudge in your heart and you need to do this. What does God use? Rhema words. Logos tells us, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. that we which are alive and remain shall not hinder those which are asleep. Paul winds up with the last verse, wherefore comfort one another with these logoses. That's the rapture in logos form. And the rapture will be consummated with a rhema word from God that quickens that logos in every bride member around the world. Black, white, red, yellow, Chinese, Japanese, Australian, whatever they are. A rhema from God will be the last revelation you'll receive as a mortal. Your whole life has been the marriage of logos and rhema. You see, the way the Hebrews looked at marriage, a man and a woman were joined together. They were one flesh, one name. They looked at him as being a new creation. She's no longer quite the same she was before marriage, and he's not either. So marriage actually made them a new creation. That's what your marriage does to God. Makes you a new creation. You're no longer yourself. And because of you, he could no longer be himself. You see, it's true order of real divine headship. Most of the earth does not understand it. Many men around the message don't understand it. They do not. True divine headship from deity makes the greater serve the lesser. Now, who served who first? You serving Jesus? Or Jesus serving you? He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the very righteousness of God in him. So the greater serve the subordinate. This is real greatness. I can see from the look of some of you men's face, you don't understand it, do you? I can debate with you. It's not up for debate. That's the word. Husbands, love your wives as... Tell me. And how did he love her? Only when she does good? Now when she's good, you love her a lot, right? And then when she ain't good, then you got a righteous be mean, grab her by the hair of the head and hit her with a skillet. And same with the women. Boy, if my husband don't do this, I'll hit him with a frying pan and I'll do this and that and the other. And you call that a Holy Ghost filled home? Sounds like the earth and chaos to me. Let God speak rhemas to your marriage. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let God speak to your spiritual walk a rhema word to where you fall in love with the Lord Jesus. Most marriage problems are foreran by spiritual problems. There ain't no way in the world a husband and wife can argue and fuss and fight and both of them be where they need to be with God. Ain't no way. Totally impossible. The Holy Ghost, it grieves the Holy Ghost when folks argue and fuss and debate. I didn't say I was done. I just told y'all to stand. Oh my. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord Jesus. How we love your Logos. We study it, we listen to it, we read it, we memorize it. We look at the meaning of the words. So much of my life, Lord Jesus, hours upon hours upon hours, maybe to bring a sermon here that I'll preach for an hour and 10 minutes or so. I may study 10, 12, 14, 20 hours. I've looked at over 10,000 quotes on one subject to bring for a weekend, covering all that Logos. And yet you put it together and you can take a few rhema words out of it and quicken to life. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. O Lamb of God, we remember prior to our new birth, truly we were without form and void, and darkness covered our face too. O Lord God, but you spoke. Now, Lord, our soul has been transformed for many of us, and we've received the Holy Ghost. The Logos has been quickened within our soul by Zoe, the life of God. Yet you've left us in an unregenerate earth body. So we still struggle with humanity, shortcomings, failures, fears. We've been washed and loosed from sin in our soul. We've had a bath, as it were. But coming from the bathhouse to eat the Passover, we got our feet dirty. Our feet and our hands. And this is why Paul says that we are cleansed of the lutron by the washing of the water by the rhemas. Our feet, our past, our hands, our works, our doings. Don't mention nothing about our soul needing constant washing. It's already washed in the past tense. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we always want to be open to be corrected by your rhema words. Cleanse us, Lord Jesus. We want to leave this world a spotless bride. Yet everywhere we are, Lord, there's filth and black and smut. Lord Jesus, help us. We're to be presented as a pure bride without spot or wrinkle. Not even without a spot. Not just a spot only, but a wrinkle which comes from setting down, we know. Lord, help us, I pray, Father. Give us a teachable spirit. May we take form and shape. Help us, Father. And we know when you made the earth, how many laws are existent in the earth today that man still knows nothing about. The universe, the stars. Lord, how that certain repetition of factors, we know that Einstein broke into the law of relativity and many other laws that scientists have been able to break into, and it's things that you've allowed them by your grace to understand if they have it right. But Lord, when you brought the earth into existence, you brought it into existence by divine order. And we know that you have an order for our life. There is a divine protocol, as it were. So we're not saved and set free on some sort of course out here where we just do our own thing and do what we want to do. We're set and called and placed under the Greek word that Paul uses, houpotasso, which is a band of soldiers. The same word that he uses about a woman submitting to her husband is the same word it uses for the church to submit to a pastor. The exact same word. So there is an order. There's an order to the age, an order to heaven, an order to the universe. Lord, I pray you would help us that law of God will work in us to bring us to divine order. The prophet was in his place and the pastors find their place. The evangelists find theirs. The teachers find theirs. The fathers, the mothers, the children, each of us. Oh, what a beautiful plan it is when we get in our place, Lord. Help us, dear God. And we'd like to be remembered tonight in prayer before the Lord. Maybe your life tonight is chaos. Maybe your soul is saved and God's redeemed your soul. But you got terrible things going on in your home or your family, on your job. Maybe you're a visitor here tonight and you go to another church and there's terrible things going on in your church. And you want God to just move for you. It's because your body is unregenerate. Why? That it can still be without form and void and darkness can cover your humanity. This is why you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and have cancer in your body tonight. Or sickness or disease or depression. Or something that makes you feel so far from God. Yet your soul is in His presence. May the Holy Ghost, the great Creator, come by your way tonight. And drop a rhema word down in your heart. By my stripes, you're healed. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. What do you need tonight, children? Just whisper your needs, your hearts to the Lord Jesus. Lord, come by my way tonight, Father. You see this chaos on my earth, my body. It seems to be without form and void and darkness is around me, Lord. Yet I love you with all my heart. It's been so long, Lord, since I felt your presence. Lord, I've kind of lost my desire, my zeal. My whole earth has got in the way. May you drop a rhema word down in my heart tonight, Lord. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus. Let's be like the little oak tonight and the little maple and the little walnut, shall we? Let's raise our little branches up before the Lord. If the sun can praise him, the birds can praise him, whether or not you understand it, the cows, the horses, the sheep, the donkeys, all creation praises him. There ain't no atheist donkeys. There ain't no atheist horses. There ain't no atheist cows. They've got better sense. They praise him. There is no atheist nature. It praises him in its own way. Praise God. Let that same Ruach Elohim that moved upon the mass confusion and the wastelessness upon the earth and the chaos, may he pass by your way tonight. Praise God and speak peace to your soul. Healing, deliverance, whatever you need. If you're oppressed, may you hear his voice say, peace, be still. Remember what we looked at last time when we dealt with this, when Peter had said, Lord, we fished all night and haven't got anything. But at thy rhema, I will let the net down. What's Peter doing? The very same thing he's done all night. That's the same thing God may tell you to do. Raise your hand. Worship me. Tell me you love me. Do this. I've done it before. I've done it before. But this time you'll do it with a rhema word. Amen. Believe me. Take my word and put it in your mouth. Amen. Remember that scripture that Brother Branham talked about in Mark 11:24? Whatever you say will come to pass. Remember he said it puzzled him all of his life. And the Spirit of God come, Brother Terry, a rhema from God and said, you say, what are you doing? Were you, well, I'm squirrel hunting. How many do you want? What was it? A rhema from God. It quickened the logos of Mark 11:24. Brother Ram knew it, loved it, believed it, and preached it all of his life. Yet he didn't understand it. Praise the Lord. Until God made it a rhema word. And then he said, whatever you say. Oh, he said, Brother Donnie, I know if you'd speak to me. Well, that's all well and good. But what if God would want to use your own mouth to speak to that sickness in your body? Would you have more confidence if I'd done it than you? Have more confidence if Brother Terry done it or Brother West or one of these ministers? What if God wants to use your mouth to speak the confusion out of your marriage? Praise the Lord. Oh, you say, that's crazy, is it? Well, how come Brother Random would tell the people, speak to that sickness in your body and tell it to leave? And then he'd turn around and tell them, doubt your doubts. Praise God. So if you're going to doubt, doubt your doubts. Don't doubt your healing. Don't doubt your faith, but doubt your doubts. Speak to that sickness in your body and tell it, it ain't got no claim on you. Speak to that disease in your body. You ain't got no claim. Trouble in your marriage, speak to that trouble in your marriage. You ain't got no claim in our marriage, you devil. You devil. God come that we could have peace in our home. God come that I could have peace and healing in my body. Amen. Children, do you believe it? Can we submit ourselves to God that whatever you say, oh my, we'll get into it, Lord willing, in a week or so. My, Brother Bram said, if the same one who spoke and said, let there be light, can take his word, Word Made Flesh, 1954, he said this. If the same one who said that can say them words out of you, how much more will the cancer or the sickness have to leave your body? Amen. Oh my, the church age book, when a son of God filled with the Holy Ghost takes that word and places it on his lips and says the word, it's the same thing as deity speaking. What is it? It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost making that word rhema in your mouth. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Oh, I know we want to rally around this great man and that great man. Listen, friends, them days are over. Them days are over. God ain't going to send one great man around the message and everybody's going to point to him. That's false teaching. It's the Holy Ghost in the body. Is there going to be preachers? Certainly there will be. There'll always be preachers. But we're not to rally around one man. The days of one man are over. Anybody that's preaching that to you is a false prophet. It's a move of the Holy Ghost falling among the body. Oh, praise be to God. What about us, sisters? Can you take God at His word? You don't have to call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. Brother Donnie, my baby's got a fever. God may want you to lay your hands on your baby. Fever, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Leave my baby's body. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, let's sing. Let's worship together, can we? How many wants to worship Him now? Oh my, let's just worship Him a little bit. Can you imagine as the Spirit of God began to move and the earth received its rhema word from God and the little sprigs of grass started coming up and glistening and shining where before it was total darkness and chaos and mushy and mucky and muddy and filthy. And all of a sudden things change. It begins to shine and glisten. And the wind, the light breeze begins to move over the face of the earth. And those little tiny, tiny blades of grass and wheat and soy and rye and all that, they begin to blow in the wind and worship God. Yes, them little bitty old teeny pine trees and oaks and maples and ash and poplar, they begin to worship God. Hallelujah. But you know what? Them trees, once they get bigger and bigger and deeper, they don't stop worshiping God. Now they got more to worship Him with. Which can worship God more, a 60-foot popper or a 3-inch popper? So if you're deeper and no more and bigger, then I ought to see more out of you than when I did when you first got saved. Come on. The poplar tree's deeper now than it's ever been, Brother Philip. It's deeper than it was when it was that big, but it's got more to praise Him with now. Amen. Amen. We ought to have more understanding. I'm not trying to get everybody up there dancing and jumping and shouting around, but don't think death does away with praise. Amen. There is no such scripture in the Bible nor message of the hour. Come on, children. Wave your hands. Your leaves of fellowship and your branches in the presence of God. Oh, praise God. It's a sign there's life moving around and Ruach is moving in the garden. Praise God. And our branches are falling over the walls, as it were. Here we are still in the garden of God. Praise be the Lord. Praise be the Lord God. Almighty God, we bless Your name, Father. You who breathed and moved upon the earth, Lord, when it was in its terrible chaos. I saw my life story in this, Father. I saw my life story when You let me see this as I preached it tonight, Lord. I saw myself again. Oh, Father, the mist has been rolled away from my soul for quite some time now, Lord. But I still want to praise You for it. I still want to bless Your name for it, Lord. Hallelujah. You've washed me. You've loosed me. Hallelujah. I love You, my God. I bless Your name, Lord. We worship You tonight, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. How many wants to praise Him with me? Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Lord. Praise Your holy name. Let's sing together, hey. Let's worship Him with all of our hearts now. Oh, I'll let you go before too long, but let's just praise Him a little bit. May the Lord, may His power just move a darkness back from your life tonight. Let that little sprout of healing or that little sprout of deliverance, that gloom and that fear of unbelief that you're going to die with cancer because your mama did, or depressed with this and that and the other, may Ruach Elohim blow over your heart. Praise be to God. Praise Your name, Lord Jesus. We worship You, Father. We bless Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, You're worthy of our praise tonight, Father. We thank You tonight, Lord, forever, Logos. Oh, but how we thank You forever, Rhema word. I thank you that you spoke to my nature, and my nature started seeking you, Lord. I used to think it was me. I used to think that that's when it made up my mind, but now I realize it was election, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord.
He knows my name.
Every soul
he sees,
yes, Lord.
Each tear that falls.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He hears me when
let's worship
I
him,
call.
Little earth. Come on, little earth. Let's worship him together.
He knows my name.
He knows your name.
He knows my name.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, how we love you tonight. We look back upon our former estate. We look back upon our pre-Adamite world as it was. The chaos and the darkness that covered our lives. When Satan was our master. When Satan was our God. The darkness that was over us. But the little Logos attribute of God lay down beneath the waters. You could not leave it, for it was yours. Like the little eagle, we was hemmed up. He had eagle feathers, eagle feet, an eagle beak. But he had chicken thinking. That's all he knew. Praise God. He was lost. But not lost like the chickens were lost. The chickens never would be an eagle. Never could be an eagle. But he was lost out of mama's fellowship. Lost out of circulation. Amen. Oh, but the prophet said when that mama come by and he looked up in the sky and saw something like he wanted to be. Where in the world did he get that desire? Mama gave him a rhema word. Son, you're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Man. Glory to God. Mama, what do I do? Just jump. I'll catch you. Amen. The prophet said whenever he jumped, it may have landed up on the fence post and it kind of waddled and everything as he got there. He didn't jump too high, but he got started. Amen. That was justification. He left the barnyard. Amen. Praise God. You spoke and we left. We might have wound up in a Baptist church first and maybe even a Catholic church saying Hail Mary, but was on our way. We was a long way from where we was going to wind up, but at least was out of the barnyard and was on our way. Oh, glory to God. He had to get strength in his wings. He never used them before, but that image kept bearing upon who he was. That's me. That's me. That's me. I'm her in another form. Oh, glory to God. That's the image you want us to keep before us. I am him in another form. I am him in another form. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're getting strength in our wings, Lord. It won't be long. We're going to leave this old world. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Aren't you glad he not only knows your name, but he called it? Amen. He calls your name. God spoke and your nature began to seek him. That was your first rhema word from God. He's still speaking and you're still responding. Amen. Try and shake somebody's hand tonight and say, it's been so good to be in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Harry, sing something rejoicing for us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Are you Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
By the water. Washed by the water of the word. Are you washed
by the water? Are you washed by the water of the word? Let's sing the chorus now. Are you washed by the water of the word?
been away.